Obijan balava kirivara tahari. Yasodhanandana braja janalanjana. Yamuna tihira vanachari. Jayalata madhava. Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Jaya Giri Bhagavari Jaya Yasoda Nandana Jaya Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamuna Jaya Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The Mount Vishnu Pataya, Krishna Pastaya, Vitalaya, Srimate, Bhakti Vedanta, Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vicharani Nivashesha Sanyavadi Pashya Devi Satarani
we are in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Creature of habit. Sorry. So, chapter 22, text 17 and 18, is it? Reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 17 and 18. Text 17 does not have a purport. Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhi Deya Pradana Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana. Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Gyan. Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana. Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Gyan. Abhideya Pradana
Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana
Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana
Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana
Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya
Pradana Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana
Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana
Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana
Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana
Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana Bhakti I'll just read the translation, and when we do the verse of the purport, we'll have the word meanings also. Or I can say it really quickly. Krishna Bhakti means devotional service to Lord Krishna. Haya is Abhideya Pradhan, the chief function of the living entity. Bhakti Mukha, in the face of devotional service, Nirakshaka, observers, karma, yoga, jnana. Food of activities, mystic yoga and speculative knowledge. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, but all are dependent on bhakti. So, should we do this? I'll just read the rest of it myself, text 18, with a translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ehi sava sadhanera ati tucha bala Krishna bhakti vinataha hite nare phala Ehi sava means all these. Sadhanera, of methods of spiritual activities. Ati, very. Tucha, insignificant. Bala, strength. Krishna bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Vina, without, taha, all these, dite, to deliver, nare, are not able, phala, the desired result. Translation of purport. But for devotional service, means except for devotional service, all other methods for spiritual realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes to the devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana and yoga cannot give the desired results. Purport. In Vedic scriptures, stress is sometimes given to fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system. Although people are inclined to practice these processes, they cannot attain the desired results without being touched by Krishna bhakti, devotional service. I have a friend here who's going to keep me company. Okay. In other words, the real desired result is to invoke dormant love for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6 states, Zavai Pumsham Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Ahai Bahog Sajay Ahaitiki Apati Hatta Yayatma Suprasidati. Karma, jnana, and yoga cannot actually awaken love of Godhead. One has to take to the Lord's devotional service. And the more one is inclined to devotional service, the more he loses interest in other so-called achievements. Dhruva Maharaj went to practice mystic yoga to see the Lord personally, face to face, but he developed an interest in devotional service. When he developed an interest in devotional service, He saw that he was not being benefited by karma, jnana, and yoga. The translation for that text again, but for devotional service, all other methods for spiritual self-realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes to devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana and yoga cannot give the desired results. Om jnana tamirandasya chananjana salakya chakshum militanyama tasmai shri gurve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and in my case that's putting it mildly, but my spiritual master has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada. So even though the first verse doesn't have a purport, I have some remarks to make about it, some comments. So yesterday, after a most scholarly presentation by Mukunda Dat Prabhu, I mentioned the speciality of Vaishnavism and how all other theologies fail to make the grade, namely to explicate pure devotional service. So this point leads nicely into today's topics. Although our first verse recognizes three different methods, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami as follows. This is a famous verse. Many of you know it, Madhya 19.149. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment. Jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Still relating to the first verse, the one without a purport, it focuses on abhideya, but most of us are aware of two other fundamental principles as spelled out by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 6, Text 178. Most of you know these, but it's nice to hear it confirmed in an actual shloka of the Shastra. Bhagavan sambandha bhakti abhideya haya prema prayojana vede tina vastukaya. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of all relationships, sambandha. Acting in devotional service to him is one's real occupation, what is that? Abhideya. And the attainment of love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life, prayojana. These three subject matters are described in the Vedic literature. So still, the first verse focuses on abhideya, and most of us are aware of the other two fundamental principles. These methods cannot really function independently of bhakti, devotion. We're going to talk a little bit today about this topic called love. Interesting topic. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to 1.2.15, liberation from material bondage is therefore a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. Such knowledge must be overcoated, is the term Prabhupada uses, with devotional service so that ultimately the devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. Even the reactionary work of the fruit of workers can lead one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma overcoated with devotional service is called karma yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge overcoated with devotional service is called jnana yoga. But pure bhakti yoga is independent of such karma and jnana, because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditional life, but award one the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So now we'll refer to the next text that has a short purport. The absolute requirement of devotional service is confirmed here, and is further confirmed by Nara Muni as follows.
Kimva yogena shankena nyasa svadya yayodapi kimva shreyo bir anyaischam nayatratma prato harihi.
Translation: transcendental practices that do not ultimately help one realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead are useless. Be they mystic yoga practices, the analytical study of matter, severe austerity, the acceptance of sannyas, or the study of Vedic literature. All these may be very important aspects of spiritual advancement, but unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, all these processes are useless. It's a very strong statement. All right, so the absolute requirement of devotional service is confirmed here. This verse includes this word, Atma-prado, the verse I quoted from the fourth canto. This is interesting. The Atma-prado is glossed as as full satisfaction of the self. The same sublime feeling that's identified in the well-known verse 1.2.6 of Aipum Sham Padal Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adho Sachaya Haitaki Apati Hatta Yayatna Supersheed, the very famous verse that's quoted in today's purport. That sublime feeling means the complete satisfaction of the self. We also read in today's purport, one has to take to the Lord's devotional service, and the more one is inclined to devotional service, the more he loses interest in other so-called achievements. And the example of Dhruva will immediately follow. In other words, in the purport of the second verse, that's the verse with the purport, Srila Prabhupada concludes by referring to the example of Dhruva, which is very instructive, actually. So the re-dash placement, in other words, replacing of interest, is another vital principle. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj was interested, really focused on getting a kingdom greater than the kingdom of his father and his grandfather. And he was motivated. He definitely, at the beginning, it was not pure devotional service, but he was very fortunate. This is mother, what was it, Suniti? She referred him to say, well, I can't help you your father, you know the story, history, your father likes his other wife more than he likes me, and that's why she was forbidden by her to let you sit on his lap, and that meant symbolically get the kingdom. So young Dhruva, even though he was only 5 years old, as you know, he had Kshatriya blood. He even said that, I'm a Kshatriya. And his guru came, none other than Narada Muni, in the woods, in the forest. And you want me to go home and just act like a kid? No way. I'm not going to do that. I'm a Kshatriya. I was insulted. I was offended. It's interesting, we have an example of young, like children in the Vedic, you have young children who are really little, like 5 years old, and yet their nature is so strong that preempts their apparently juvenile situation. So we have that in the case of Dhruva, and also in the case of Shringi, who also was quite young, maybe a little older than Dhruva, not much. And in both cases, their full endowment with, in the case of Shringi, a brahminical tejas or a brahminical potency, and in the case of Dhruva, his kshatriya determination. Even Narada Muni couldn't convince Dhruva to give it up. So in the Vedic context, you could have young children actually expressing tremendous power in their respective varnas. So what else do we have here? No, it's the first one. So the Satmar Prado is, as I say, it's glossed as full satisfaction of the self, and that's obtainable only by pure devotional service. We're going to talk a little more about this theme. I'll go a little bit into popular culture, and we talk about love and how the self can be satisfied. So we also read in today's purport that unless one takes the devotional service, one has to take to the Lord's devotional service, and the more one is inclined to devotional service, the more he loses interest in other so-called achievements. And the example of Dhruva will immediately follow. All right, I think we read that. So there's a very relevant verse in 11th canto. Some of you may know it. Bhakti Pare, the start is so old I could hardly read it. Bhakti Pare Shanu Bhago Vratir Anyatra Chaisatrika Eka Kalaha Prapadyamanasya Yatashnatasyus Tushti Pushti Kshut Apayo Nugarshan. Translation. Devotion, that's bhakti, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, Adishanu Bhava, and detachment from all other things, that's called Viraktir, Anyatra. All these occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and what's the last one? We got bad luck. An airplane is coming right now, taking everybody to the Rathi Yatra. I don't think they hired a plane. The last one is, you may have said, I couldn't hear it. The last one is relief from hunger. They come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. This is Kavi Yogendra instructing King Nimi. So we're talking about the satisfaction of the self. We're going to be mentioning abhista. Abhista means the innermost desire of the soul. So one of the points that I'm going to be trying to make, or I'll make right now, is that to be really satisfied, it depends on how deeply in our being, what part of our existence, our being, our identity, our so-called identity is being satisfied. In order to be really satisfied, it has to be us that's being satisfied, not our temporary external situations, but rather the actual soul. So we have a practical example that Prabhupada would quote quite often. The meter escapes me, but it's by a famous verse by Sri Yamunacharya. Yad avadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde navanavadasadaman yujyatya marantum ashi tad avati batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara sushtu nishti vanam cha. Translation. This is, okay. Since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet, this is Yamunacharya, of Lord Krishna, and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it. And the way Prabhupada would always say it, and devotees were afraid to try to correct Prabhupada, but he would always say spite. He'd say, and I spite at the thought. We understand Prabhupada was expressing that Yamunacharya would spit at the thought. So this verse is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, this verse by Yamunacharya, including in his purport to 2.60, that Jnani Pramatini, it follows the well-known principle in the verse that just comes before in Bhagavad Gita, Vishayavinivartante Naraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Pramdrishva Nivartate. And at least, what is Pramdrishva? The higher taste. The higher taste. Higher taste, as I'm trying to touch on the psychology involved, or goes beyond psychology, means that the higher taste means not only relative to a lower taste in a particular, like the senses or something like that, but it means that what's higher about it is it's going deeper, that it's going to our actual soul. We are the soul, our actual being. Then we could become actually satisfied because it's actually us that's being engaged, not something external. So, good old, I think he's still alive, Mick Jagger loudly complained of his inability to obtain satisfaction. I'm not going to sing, many of you, it's kind of very famous lyric. But little did he know that abhista, the innermost desire of the soul, is what really needs satisfaction. And this gives me the opportunity to share one of my most favorite verses. This is Sri Karana Bhajana to King Nimi in 11.5.33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dayam sada paribhava jnana bhishta doham. Now there's that word abhishta. What does Abhishta mean? Anyone remember? Yeah, right, but what kind of desire? The innermost desire of the soul is all there in Abhishta. Dayam sada paribhava gyan. Paribhava gyan destroys the embarrassing conditions of material life, as translated, DBT translation. Abhishta doham tirtash padam shivavarin shinutam sharanyam vrityarti ham pranatapala bhavadi potam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. My dear Lord, translation, you are the Mahapurush, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the what? The attainment of pure love of Godhead. This is a very expanded translation. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places. That's Sharanyan, Tirtashpadam Sharanyan. And of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service and are honored. What is honored? Krishna's lotus feet. And are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat, Bhavabdi Potam, for crossing over the ocean of birth and death. Therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva take shelter at your lotus feet. So that Abhishta comes out in this verse, the innermost desire of the soul. That is what is satisfied by devotional service. Therefore, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva take shelter of devotional service. Lotus feet of the Lord are Tirthashpadam, the headquarters, you can say, of all places of pilgrimage. So how does that fit into what we're talking about? Again, the basic main theme today that I'm inspired to try to express is this idea of how devotional service Yayatma Supashidati really satisfies the actual self. Getting back to the reference to Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada calls our attention to Dhruva's radical conversion. Now this gets kind of interesting. His change of interest, his paradigm shift, compressed into his memorable statement. So this is a famous verse Prabhupada would quote a lot from the Hari Bhakti Sudadaya 7.28. It's equivalent to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22.42. Stana bilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavam deva munindraguyam kacham vachinvan api divya ratnam. And then the famous conclusion, Spamin klitartosmi varam nayache. Translation, O my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to obtain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you. Krita Artha Asmi, I am fully satisfied. So this is on next set of remarks are about conversion. It's an interesting topic. So this is an example of conversion in a very deep sense, that Dhruva Maharaj made a conversion from pursuing material goals to the actual real ultimate self-interest, love of God. And he got it. And he was satisfied with it. The four Kumaras are another example of this kind of conversion, like a fundamental conversion. But this time, instead of converting from karma to pure devotional service, the four Kumaras converted from jnana to pure devotional service. After all, the four Kumaras are not small time. I mean, they're very, very... They're the sons of Lord Brahma, specifically deputed to teach Shankya, to teach about spiritual reality. But they themselves needed to make this conversion, and that was affected by contact, again, with the lotus feet of the Lord, smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaves that were offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Then you have that picture, the painting where the four Kumaras are, all four of them, little baby. Look, they look like little babies, but they are the first sons of Lord Brahma. And they're all kind of trying to grab Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. They're doing a pretty good job, actually. And they also converted, in a sense, instead of from, like in the case of Dhruva, wanting something of this world, they wanted to be more realized in the absolute truth. And they wanted to know, what is this absolute truth? Of course, we hear about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, but they wanted even more than that. They wanted to have full realizations. And that's why they went to the gates of Vaikuntha, and that was a very, very... crucial moment in Bhagavatam description, the history of the universe. That's also there. For Kumaras, Tasyara Vinda Nayanasya Padara Vinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antarga Takspa Vivarena Chakara Tesham Shankshobam aksharajusam apichitatanvaho. Translation, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of God had entered the nostril of those sages, they experienced the change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. We hear about conversion like Srila Prabhupada even uses the word conversion for Vyankata Bhata in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya converted them from worshipping with opulence, Aishwarya, to the pure loving type of devotion that one finds in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's a very high-level conversion. They converted within Vaishnavism, but they converted from one level to a supreme level of Vaishnavism by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But conversion also can go much deeper in the sense that revolutionary, we can say, in the sense of converting from pursuing material sense gratification whether subtle or gross or explicitly or implicitly, to actually pursuing the real goal of life. And I didn't write this in my notes, but it always comes back to me, 2.69 in Bhagavad Gita. How does that begin again? Someone just give me a cue. The verse that describes what is night for all beings is the time of awakening. It's time of awakening for self-realized souls, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So it's like a difference between night and day. Now that's a much more fundamental, that's the kind of conversion that the preachers of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are trying to effect in the people in general. That kind of conversion from matter to spirit, that kind of conversion from selfishness to actually trying to please the Supreme Lord and thereby please everyone. What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita that yoga yukta vishuddhatma vijitatva jitendriya sarva bhutatva bhutatma kurvan apina lipyate, that those who are engaged in devotional service, controlling their mind and senses, they are dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to them. Though always working, such a person is never entangled. Kurvan api na lipyate. They don't become lipyate. They don't become all implicated in karmic reactions to work. So the working, just like Srila Prabhupada, worked like anything. But his work was akarma, completely free from any kind of karmic reaction, obviously, and beyond that. So I found that this idea of conversion is important, especially when we get to the biggest leap of faith, we can say, the biggest jump, the quantum leap, to express it in different ways, of placing our faith in Maya, and then finally placing our faith in the lotus feet of the Lord. If we do that successfully, as we hear, that Maya Devi herself will finally come up to us and say, you're free. You can go now. And congratulations. You've escaped my clutches. We usually don't hear about Maya in that kind of a role, but that is in the offing, that could be our experience when we become really free from her clutches. She herself will be happy about that. The Prabhupada describes Maya as a thankless task. Okay, now a few points quickly regarding love. Let us indulge now in a bit of dovetailing. If anyone is getting bored now, you'll become very engaged now. So many popular songs, innumerable, so many, that sing of the glories of love, although usually mistaking it for lust. All right, now, this is maybe a little bit risque, but I'm sure you'll forgive me. Srila Prabhupada, I think, will forgive me. Here's a list of some songs, some from the Beatles, others. Just a few examples. Some of you, it depends on which generation you're in and how old you're in. Some of you, you know, these songs, they won't mean anything, these titles. And others of you who are older, you may relate to. Money Can't Buy Me Love. Another song about love. I Want You, I Need You, I Love You. That's for the old timers. Another one is Don't You Want Somebody to Love. That's also old. All You Need Is Love, the famous Beatles one. And then a real old one, All My Lovin'. Then another one is Let's Be Lovers. Another one, I think the Everly Brothers, Dream Lover. And then finally, and here it gets a little bit sublime. Now we're finally getting a connection between popular music and where we're trying to go. I'm not going to speculate on Johnny Coltrane's ultimate intention, but he went above just lusty love. He went and he had an album called Love Supreme, very long cut on the album. Love Supreme, Love Supreme, and he goes up to the next key and everything. So he wasn't talking, and he had some spiritual, what's the word? Some spiritual insight, maybe that's being too generous. He had some spiritual sense, you might say. So that's another song that deals with love. But of course, none of the above even approach, except maybe the last one, the true desire of the soul, that abhista, which I mentioned in that verse in the 11th canto, the abhista, dohang. So the intensity of attraction greatly increases when one detects that feelings are mutual, reciprocal, in other words, akin to rasa. This is a very kind of, to end on a very sweet note, despite my crusty nature. This is Lord Kapila Dev to Devahuti. Lord Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti, but Lord Kapila Dev happens to be the Supreme Lord also. Tayar dashan niyar vair udara vilasa visheshita vama shuktai vitat mano nita pranam chabaktir anichchato me gatim anvin prayunte. Translation. I don't think anyone quotes this phrase. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without a separate endeavor. So this is the reward. To sum up a little bit, we're talking about the main point that I was trying to get across is this idea of satisfaction, and how satisfaction has to be really satisfying. It has to satisfy ourselves rather than our external extensions of mind and body. What have you. That satisfaction which is so much pursued in the material world, trying to earn money and use the money as buying different objects, and it never makes it. And then, of course, there's always this little thing called having to leave your body, growing old. Now we're my generation is like, it's bye-bye. Yes, we're up to that time. And so it's very hard to find any real satisfaction if one is confined within the context of the samsara, or the cycle of birth and death in the material world. But even if somehow one becomes liberated, then one will not ultimately feel satisfied just floating in Brahman. That point is also made, and often made as well. So, let's rest assured, the more that we cultivate, the more we become purified, and our actual existence, the soul, actually comes to the fore, actually begins to and continues and increases its engagement, then the more that satisfaction is inevitable. The more we won't feel frustrated, we won't feel let down, we won't feel disappointed. It's like Dhruva, he said, I'm just fine now. I don't need anything. Even you're offering me whatever I want, but I have you. So what? I'm satisfied. I'm completely satisfied. Why would I want a broken piece of glass when I now have found you, the greatest jewel? So on that note, we have a few minutes if anyone has any anything they'd like to ask or comment.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So there's so much discussion. Srila Prabhupada instructs on renunciation and yourself coming from that position of renunciation. But what about a young couple that they're finding devotional service is being in a family an impediment to finding this rare gem of pure devotional service?
Yeah, I always have to remind myself I'm surrounded mostly by grihastha devotees. So I mean, try to keep it relevant, you know. There's one purport, even in Bhagavad Gita, where Srila Prabhupada says one should see each relative as Krishna. It's the Krishna. Krishna is my aunt. Krishna is my mother. Krishna is my son. Krishna. Like a good wife, you can see, goddess of fortune. So there was in Mayapur one devotee, I think it was Hari Vilas, the one that started a big perfume business. Hari Vilas, I think it was. He was giving class, and he gave some advice to all the grihasthas that if one has an exploitative attitude, say, towards one's wife, and is trying to exploit, subtle or gross, whatever, then one will find that one's living, instead of the goddess of fortune, one will be living with Durga, according to one's own attitude, talking about from the male's point of view. But if one serves the wife, if one, in a proper way, and one sees the wife to be a servant of Krishna and in turn should be served, then the goddess, the wife becomes like the goddess of fortune instead of Durga. So that's one hint. But in general, it's devotional service. Somehow one has accepted the responsibility of having dependence. And there's financial, there's health, there's psychological, there's so many aspects in which one has to attend to one's dependence. That's quite a burden, kutumba bhagavan. But still, the Bhagavatam warns us that one should not become crazy, one should not become mad. Even if one is pretty responsible in taking care of one's family responsibility, one should never think that I'm the Lord, even with a small L. One should not think like that and thus become crazy. Na pramadyet kutumbapi. That kutumbapi means even though kutumba, even though maintaining even a large family, na pramadyet, don't become crazy. Don't become crazy. Don't start over forgetting the fact that just like, not just like, but going to an extreme example of Mrigari the hunter, where he thought that his bow was the cause of his sustenance. And Narada Muni explained to him that that's not the case, and I'll prove it to you. Break your bow and you'll see how Krishna maintains you. And it worked fine. There's that example, and don't imitate this, please, because I'll get in trouble for even suggesting it. But there was that question where, was it Lord Chaitanya? He asked, Srivas Thakur, was it? How do you maintain yourself? I see you don't work, and you have this big establishment, you host all the Vaishnavas, and you have servants, and everything seems so opulent. And then in answer, I believe it was Shrivas, he just clapped his hands. And he said, if somehow edibles don't come, if we don't get, we're not maintained by the Lord, then I clap my hands three times. It means if in 3 days, don't imitate this, whatever, even mentally, but in 3 days I'll jump in the Ganges, I'll kill myself. In other words, he had an intimate relationship with the Lord. We can't coerce the Lord in that way. The Lord would just laugh at us, I think, if we tried something like that. But he always found it always worked, that Krishna provided everything he needs. And even in a more easily understandable example, our founder, Acharya, even despite the fact that you can say Krishna was not testing him, but showing his prowess as a devotee, Krishna was displaying Srila Prabhupada's amazing determination by allowing more than a year to go by with no tangible success. And even materially speaking, you know, hardly getting eatables, and so many amazing austerities that Prabhupada had to go through. And then when Krishna decided, okay, now I'll show another side. You know, Prabhupada said, I don't want to digress too much, but I'm just pointing to Srila Prabhupada as such a obvious for us, and anyone that takes the trouble to study Srila Prabhupada Leela, obvious how Krishna and Prabhupada would say, Krishna provides whatever we need. Krishna will say, I think he instructed Satsarupa Maharaj, Krishna will send men and money. So the more we actually really depend on Krishna, it doesn't mean depend on, anyway, that's not an excuse for householders to become irresponsible and lazy and not bring home the chapatis and all that. But there has to be this inner sense of dependence on Krishna, and that even connects one with becoming satisfied in whatever one's external activity or ashram. One will be satisfied if one continues to depend on Krishna. And what is it? The two fingers, one is our endeavor and the other one is Krishna's grace. So grace and works, that famous debate. So both have to be there. We have to make the endeavor. But what is it? God helps those who help themselves. So, I mean, that's a big topic, but I guess it boils down to chant your rounds, take prasad, read a verse a day. That was a mantra that was chanted for big book distribution marathons. And chant your rounds, you know, take prasad and read a verse and then get out there and distribute books. That was a mantra that I think Ramesh gave us. Anyway, I hope at least part of what I said had some relevance to your question. Anyone else? How about this? I'll make a deal with you. I was going to say I won't be so extended in my answer this time. Yes, Manu.
I just wanted to mention that I really appreciated your expression about what conversion is from matter to spirit. I thought that was never thought of that way. And as far as you also were mentioning people being satisfied. And we see that sometimes, like in Shukadeva Goswami's case, he's an Atmaram, he was totally, completely satisfied, and then he converted to Krishna consciousness,
whose case is it?
Shukadeva Goswami.
Shukadeva Goswami. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of conversion is that? Because he was definitely in the spirit and satisfied. He was totally satisfied. He was an Atmaram. And yet...
Aparam?
Atmaram. You know. Atmaram's Chamunayo. Atmaram meaning he is totally satisfied. He's satisfied within himself.
Okay.
And so... and yet we see he converted. So what kind of conversion
is... it was Atmarama.
Yes,
Atmarama Chamunayo. Yes. So we're talking about satisfaction. So you're saying that even though he had impersonal understanding, but he was still
satisfied.
He was satisfied.
And it seems like that conversion is from spirit to spirit because he was a transcendentalist.
Yeah, I mean that's a high level conversion. It's very different from the kind of conversion that we're trying to effect to convert people from being materialist to becoming devotees. He did convert from impersonalism to personalism, and that's a big deal. It's a very, very wonderful change. And that was affected by hearing some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that his father Vyas sent some sages and read to him, and he kind of like, it was like bait. He got him got him interested. And then he went and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. So, yeah, you can say a conversion from Brahman realization to Bhagavan realization and beyond. Shukadev was also. It's amazing that he spent some time as an impersonalist. He was associating with impersonalists and the two camps, the impersonalists and the bhaktas. They didn't always get along so well. But then he came into the fold. Yes, is that okay?
I was wondering that he was also satisfied.
Oh, yeah, the point of what kind of satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada named one of his earliest disciples Brahmananda. So apparently there is some ananda in Brahman. You can say Para Brahmananda, but no, it was just Brahmananda was the name. So there's one devotee. I met personally. He used to state being El Achu, and he claimed that he is experiencing Brahman realization, that he's experiencing transcendence, and he said it was really, it really feels great. It's really, really amazing feeling. So I'm not saying that he wasn't going to go beyond that, but being a Vaishnava, but he was kind of like a way station, a stopping place, and it feels real nice. That was his realization. I wouldn't mind becoming self-realized completely, but I wouldn't want to get stuck on that Atmarama, that kind of feeling of satisfaction. Because ultimately, compared with loving relationship with the Supreme Lord, it's not really so valuable. You know, everything has its relative aspect. Okay, someone else had a question here. I saw some hand go up. Maybe they were just stretching their arm or something. No. All right. So thank you all so much for giving me the opportunity. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Itago Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.